Couple of readings now. First of all, from Mark chapter 2. And I believe we're going to have the reading on the screen as well. So Mark 2, verses 13 to 17. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," Jesus told him. And Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." And then we're going back to Isaiah 6, and I'm going to read a little bit more about Isaiah's vision. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory.' At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. 'Woe to me,' I cried. 'I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty.' Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, 'See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for.' Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here am I. Send me.'" Friends, we're focusing particularly in this story where Jesus meets Levi and eats with him and his friends. And I've got there are three things that I would like to draw out of this story today. And so I've got some little presents, very little. And are you two going to help me hand them out? Fabulous. So first thing, can you give everybody one of these? Everybody gets a sticking plaster. Because the religious leaders of Jesus' day didn't understand why a holy man would spend his time with tax collectors and sinners. Now, just while the plasters are coming round, I'm going to tell you a bit more about the tax collector thing, because some of you might be thinking, what's wrong with tax collectors? I mean, I'm guessing none of us love paying taxes, but we know we've got to do it, right? What is it? There's two certainties in life, death and taxes. That's what my dad always used to say. In Jesus' day, tax collectors were not like they are today. They would take an extra cut. They would take extra money from people. They also were collaborators with the Romans. Oh, and I've just broken the pen. Sorry, folks. Last time I broke a mic, today I broke a pen. Can't take me anywhere. So in Jesus' time, tax collectors were kind of corrupt. They would take extra money from people. That was how they earned a living. And they collected the taxes for the Romans, the Roman invaders. And so tax collectors were hated because they took that extra money and also because they were working with the Roman invaders. So tax collectors in Jesus' day, more like loan sharks in our day, or maybe drug dealers, you know, people who make money from hurting other people. So I'm hoping that almost everyone has got a plaster now. Why am I giving out a plaster? Give us a wave if you're waiting. Yeah, lady here. Brilliant. You all got a plaster because Jesus came for the sick. Jesus, the doctor, came for people who were sick. Now, maybe some of us think that religious people are good people and that we'll only be accepted in a religious community if we're good too. But actually, being a Christian is not about being a good person. Well done. Brilliant. Not yet. I'll call you in a minute. Grab a seat. Thank you very much for your help. Being a Christian is not about being a good person, folks. I heard this great explanation. I heard it years ago. It wasn't me that came up with this. I can't remember who it's a quote from. But they said this. There's two kinds of people in this world. Bad people and Jesus. And I thought that's so helpful. There's two kinds of people in this world. So some of you here, maybe you've been going to church all your lives or for a long time. Some of you, maybe you've just started coming or you're not even sure what you think about Jesus. But, you know, none of us are any different from one another. There's two kinds of people, bad people and Jesus. All of us mess it up. Some of us are good at hiding our bad stuff. Some of us kind of can present quite a good, you know, view of ourselves to the world. We sort of hide our brokenness. Others of us wear it on our sleeves. But we all mess up, don't we? We all mess up. One of the things that I really admire about Alcoholics Anonymous and other recovery groups is that they're so radically honest. I had the privilege of going along to an open meeting a few years ago with a friend. In AA and other recovery groups, the starting point is, I've messed up and I need help. I can't do this on my own. And in AA, people recognize they need the help of a higher power. And so they kind of ask for the help of the God of their understanding, however they understand God. Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick ones do, says Jesus. And that's who Jesus came for. Being a follower of Jesus is recognizing that I can't be good without his help. But every day, in every moment, I can ask forgiveness. I can turn away from the things that I do wrong. Now, I'm not personally addicted to alcohol, but maybe I'm addicted to bad temper or to my phone. Or, thank you. Yeah, but if you want to know what kind of a person I really am, ask my children. Like, but, you know, they can tell you. Jesus, the doctor, helps us with the things that we do wrong. He's come not to help righteous people, good people, but messed up people, and that's all of us. But I think Jesus, the doctor, helps us not just in our sin, not just in the things we do wrong, but the things we haven't done wrong, the things that have just happened to us. Maybe your life is really difficult, and you come to church, and you look around, and you think, my life's rubbish compared to everyone here. Well, Jesus didn't come for shiny, happy people. Jesus came for you. Jesus came for those of us who are broken, and that's all of us. And it's when we recognize that about ourselves that we can come to Jesus, the doctor, and ask for his help. So friends, feel free to keep that sticking plaster. You can keep it in your wallet if you like as a reminder that Jesus, the doctor, has come to make us better. I've got another job for you too, if that's all right. So, we need tea bags. So, if you, Amber, can you take a massive wadge and then Tommy, you take the box? That's it. Give everyone two tea bags. You don't need to break them up. Everyone gets two tea bags. Why am I giving you tea bags? Because we're British. What do? When we meet a friend, we have a cup of tea, right? Cup of tea. Jesus came to make us better. Jesus came to help us with our brokenness. But Jesus also just came to be with us. Jesus came to hang out with us, to spend time with us. In the New Testament, we see in the Gospels in particular, we see over and over, Jesus goes to people's homes and he has meals with them. He hangs out with them. Jesus doesn't just call Levi to change his ways, to you know, become a better person, to stop doing the things that he's doing wrong. But he also comes to spend time with him. He goes to his home. He has a meal. He receives his hospitality. He doesn't just want to fix Levi. He wants to be his friend. Jesus is sometimes called the friend of sinners. And in Jesus, God comes to hang out with human beings. God comes to be with us. Someone once told me that children spell love T-I-M-E. And thank you, good spelling. And I don't think it's just true of children, is it? Actually, for so many of us, someone spending time with us is so important for us to feel loved, isn't it? You might have done the love languages quiz, the five love languages. Apparently, people kind of show love and affection through hugs, gifts, words, acts of service, and quality time. And whenever I do the quiz, I'm off the scale, quality time. If I love someone, I want to spend time with them. I want to have a cup of tea with them. Have you ever had the experience of sharing with someone, you're talking to someone, maybe you're sharing about something that's difficult in your life, and they start trying to give you advice? They start trying to fix you, trying to say, well, if you just do that and that, that'll make it better. Anyone want to confess to that? I know that's happened to me. Sometimes you don't want someone, you don't want to give advice, you don't want someone to try and fix you, you just want them to listen. Now, Jesus does come to help us. Jesus does come to step on the broken pen again. Jesus comes to help us with the broken things in our lives, but Jesus also comes to just be with us. I remember a time I was in, when I was a minister at Lee Road, and I was in my office, and I got a phone call that was really bad news. Really bad news. And I went into the general church office, and a couple of people from the church came, and they sat and they prayed with me. And then one of them kind of got up and went to go away, and the other one just sat there, just kept sitting with me and looking at me, sitting with me in just the really bad news that I'd had. And I really appreciated that. You know, I'd never forgotten that. Someone who was willing to just sit with me when things were really difficult, and he couldn't do anything else to help, but what he did made a real difference. Jesus doesn't simply want us to behave. He wants to know us. He wants to be with us. He wants to be our friend. So, friends, keep the tea bags. You might want to make a cup of tea for a friend, sit and have a cup of tea with someone else. And remember, Jesus wants to be your friend. Jesus just wants to be with you and to know you. Lastly, see if you don't tell them what it is. They might not work it out. Any idea what we're handing out here? This is my attempt at art. Anyone know what I'm giving you out here? What have we got here? Folks, it's meant to be a footprint. Oh, good. Okay, some of you have got that. Fabulous. So, you're each being given out a little footprint. Because Jesus comes to help Levi to be a better person. And Jesus comes to spend time with Levi to be Levi's friend. But he also invites him on an adventure. Jesus says to Levi, follow me. And Levi gets up and follows Jesus. A Christian is a follower of Jesus. Someone Jesus, the doctor, is making better. Someone who is friends with Jesus. And someone who follows Jesus. It's not a static thing. Jesus loves me and it's great. But it's actually a movement. It's because Jesus loves me. And Jesus calls me on this adventure with him, going where he leads. And we see this in the passage from Isaiah as well, where the prophet comes face to face with God. And when Isaiah comes face to face with God, he says, I'm a man of unclean lips and I'm broken. I'm a sinner. And then the angel flies to him and touches his lips with a hot coal in his dream. And then he's received forgiveness. And then God says, who will go for me? And the prophet says, here I am, send me. He's forgiven, and then he's sent out on a mission. And Jesus invites all of us on an adventure too, on a mission. Being friends with Jesus is something we enjoy for ourselves, but it's also something we share with the world. And our world is messed up, isn't it? I mean, climate change, just it's overwhelming to think about, isn't it? And, you know, the cost of living crisis. So many people in our country, our relatively wealthy country, that are really struggling to heat their homes, to feed themselves and their children, to pay their bills. A refugee crisis, where people are so desperate that they will risk these small boats on these choppy seas. It's hard to imagine how difficult your life must be to take that kind of risk. Our world is messed up. It's a world in which so many people don't know the God who loves them, who created them. They don't know that God loves them unconditionally and wants to be their friend. God loves the world so much that God sends Jesus to save us, sends Jesus into the world, and then Jesus sends us out into the world. After Jesus' resurrection, he says to his followers, I'm sending you to Jerusalem, to all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. God is transforming the world, and God wants us to do that too. God wants to work with us to transform the world. Frederick Buechner said that our calling, the place where God sends us, is the place where our deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. The place where our deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. I wonder, what's your deep gladness? What do you love to do? And how might the thing you love to do meet with the world's deep hunger? So, for example, some churches are so disturbed by the climate crisis that the thing they love to do is creation care. And so they engage with their communities. They've created bug hotels and community gardens. I was learning about a Methodist church that runs an after-school club for 4 to 11-year-olds where they go on nature walks and they learn about creation. Churches that have received their Eco Church Gold Awards. I don't know how much you know about Eco Church. It's something you can sign up to, and then it asks you lots of questions about how your church teaches about creation care in worship, how your building is in terms of sustainability, how you engage with your community. And it's really, really interesting way of thinking about how we can engage with our community over something that all of us care about. Because lots of people aren't interested in coming to church, but so many of us really care about climate change, don't we? So that's just one way some churches are engaging with the world's deep hunger with something that they're really passionate about. I was in a meeting recently with these two amazing women, and they're in a team of four volunteers that have transformed this rural Methodist chapel into this amazing place of spirituality and creativity. So two of them are professional musicians, and in their spare time, they run this program of events, getting people to use their creativity to explore their spirituality. Their deep gladness is music and creativity. And they believe that all human beings are on a spiritual journey. And so they use their deep gladness, their musical gifts, to engage with the world's deep hunger, desire for something beyond. My deep gladness is evangelism. Is telling others about the love of God in Jesus and helping other people to do evangelism. That's the thing that I love to do. And so the next time that you're in conversation with someone, someone who doesn't know Jesus, someone who doesn't go to church, and you have an opportunity to share what that means to you, you might use some of the messages from this story. So you might have your cup of tea with them, and you might say, Jesus wants to be your friend. Jesus wants to spend time with you. Or you might think about the sticking plaster and say, you know, we're all broken, and Jesus wants to heal our brokenness. There's two kinds of people in this world, broken people and Jesus. Or you might say, Jesus invites you on an adventure. Jesus wants you to join with him in transforming the world. Let's pray together and ask God to speak to each one of us this morning. Jesus, we thank you that you've come to heal our brokenness. Thank you that you've come to make us better. Thank you that you've come to be with us. You long to be our friend. And thank you for this adventure that you invite us on. Please help us. Help us to respond to you. Help us to receive your friendship, to open ourselves to being healed by you, and to go on this adventure with you. Show us our next steps. We pray in your name. Amen. Got one last little present for you. Got little person-shaped post-it notes. So this, could you give everyone one of those? Doesn't matter which colour. And this is for you to think about, what's your deep gladness? So this little person shape represents you. So you might want to go away later. You might want to write some thoughts on it. What's your deep gladness? What's the thing you love to do? Because Jesus wants to invite, wants you to use the things you love to do to share good news with the world. So for example, our musicians share good news through their musical gifts. I was offered a cup of coffee as soon as I walked through the door. That's someone with a gift of hospitality. Fabulous gift. There's this wonderful creativity going on here. And so many other gifts. There's as many gifts as there are human beings in this world. What's your deep gladness? Take a little person and ask God to show you how he wants you to use your deep gladness to share his love with the world. We're now going to spend some time praying for others, asking for God's help. And we're going to use our hands to do this. It's not sign language this time, but we'll use our hands, our fingers and thumbs to help us pray. So we're first of all going to use our thumbs to think about the people closest to us. So your thumb pointing towards yourself. The people close to us. So feel free to keep your eyes open or close your eyes, whatever helps you to pray. And we're going to pray for the people close to us. And if you want to shout out maybe just the first name of someone you want to pray for, that's fine. Lord, we pray for the people close to us, people in our families and our friends. For Peter. Lord Jesus, please help all the people we've named out loud and those we've named in our minds this morning. Next, we use our pointing finger, and we're thinking about people who help point the way for us, so people who teach us. So let's pray for Jane, let's pray for our teachers that teach us or our children, and others who guide us in our lives. Again, feel free to shout out names if you wish. Next, we think of our middle finger, our longest finger, and we're thinking of people in leadership over us. So we're thinking of our government and the royal family and others who lead us. Let's pray for them. And next is our fourth finger or ring finger. And that's quite a weak finger. If you try to pick up a bag of shopping with that finger, you're going to struggle. So we're praying for people who are feeling very weak, feeling sad, people who are sick, people who are really struggling. And again, if you wish to shout out just first names, please do. And lastly, we think of our pinky finger, and now we think of ourselves, because it's fine to pray for ourselves too. What do you need from God this morning? Feel free to ask God. Lord Jesus, we pray all these prayers in your name. Amen.